Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
An 11-year-old boy fell into the Merced River just above the Vernal Falls in Yosemite Park. While many who were standing by screamed and called for help, it was Orville Luce, a 21-year-old just out of the U.S. Navy, who leaped in and swam to the boy. Luce reached the boy just before he went over the falls, but was unable to save him. The current was so strong that Luce and the boy both went over the falls onto the rocks 325 feet below. Orville Luce was willing to save the boy. No one can question that. The proof is in the sacrifice of his own life. However, Orville Luce was unable to save the boy. In this case, the tragedy is seen in the death of two young people. How much greater would the tragedy be if one were to rely on a God who was not able to save his soul? Is Jehovah willing to save? Is Jehovah able to save? Today we examine the question, who can justify me? We ask the question today in a spiritual sense, who can save me? And we ask it by saying, who can justify me? It's important as we continue this study to understand what the word justify means. First, let's do a quick review of last week's material and then move into today's lesson. Last week we learned that God created man in his own image, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. God placed man in a paradise, a place that provided for all of his needs. Yet man quickly sinned. Man chose to suffer punishment rather than to enjoy the paradise of God. That sin is recorded for us in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 6. We also know from Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20 that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. God has ordained that the one who sins is worthy of death, for the wages of sin is death, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. If it is true that man, when he reaches the age of accountability, sins and separates himself from God, and the soul that sinneth shall die, then man is left without hope. However, the very next verse in Ezekiel 18 indicates that if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he has committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. We see then that God has made provision for the one who has sinned to come back to him. Job asked the question in Job chapter 25 and verse 4. How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of woman? This is the question that we need to answer, for we must find a way to come back to God. Now, if man was to search for that way on his own, he would never find it. For man cannot save himself. Yet there is justification available if we know where to look, for God has provided it. To continue our study, let's look at the word itself, justification. This word really only occurs three times in the entire Bible, all in the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 25, chapter 5, verse 16, and chapter 5, verse 18. In these three cases, we find the word justification. Now, you might think that the Bible has very little to say on the matter, but that is simply not true. If you look at the Hebrew word that is the root of this, and the Greek word that is the root of justification, we find by their definitions that they mean to be just or righteous, or to be declared just or righteous in a moral or forensic sense. What that means is that a public declaration, as in a court of law, is made declaring a person to be right. Strong's Exhaustive Concordance translates or defines that Greek word as an acquittal. Thayer says it is the act of God declaring man to be free from guilt and acceptable to him. When you take all of these words and put them together, you'll find that the Bible, over 200 different times, comments directly on what it means to be right or just, or how man can be right or just. A form of this word is even used to refer to Christ as the just one. So we see then that the word justification means to be acquitted. To be justified means to be found not guilty, to be declared right or righteous. And that is what man must seek. For we must have that acquittal before the great judge in that last great day. The question then comes to us, who can justify me? We've already seen the tragedy of one trying to save another in a physical sense and being unable to do so. But what about trying to save one in a spiritual sense and being unable to do so? We find that the Bible declares God is just and the justifier. You see, Job was right, as we learned last week. Man cannot justify himself. We must turn to God for that acquittal, for that justification. In Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 24, we see that justification is tied directly to God's grace. Paul wrote, "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness." This is God declaring His own rightness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. "To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus." God is, in fact, just. It would be possible, maybe, for Satan to come to God and say, "You cannot save these people who have sinned, for your law declares that when one sins, he is worthy of death. And since all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," Romans 3 and verse 23, "you cannot save mankind." However, God, by His plan for man's redemption, has declared His own rightness, God's own righteousness. He sent Jesus to die on the cross that men might be saved. And in doing so, He declares the rightness, the justice of washing man's sins away. Now, under the Old Testament law, God provided for sin offerings. The sin offering included the spilling of blood of the animal and the making of a burnt offering. By doing so, man was appealing to God on the basis that he had sinned and God could save. Yet it is not until the time that Christ comes and dies on the cross that we actually have the sacrifice made that can take away sins. In the book of Hebrews, we learn that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sins. But Jesus came, He came in the flesh, according to John chapter 1 and verse 14, and He came with a body that God had prepared for the very purpose of being sacrificed for man's sins. It is in this act of sacrifice that Jesus and the Father, by allowing it to occur, demonstrate their abundant love for you and for me. In doing so, God is making a declaration. He is telling all men for all time in all places that I am right to forgive sins. A sacrifice that is suitable has been made. Now, you see, it would be possible for me to die for my own sins and satisfy God's justice. But in the end, all I would be is a dead sinner. It would not have washed my sin away. Yet by appealing to the death of Christ, I can have my sins washed away. And justification is tied very closely to Christ's death. In Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 30, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." God is the one that justifies us. Now, some misunderstand the passage that we've just read, for the word predestinate confuses some. It is possible to understand this maybe in two different ways. One, that God predestinated on an individual basis who would be saved and who would be lost. And many teach this passage exactly that way. However, the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This means that salvation is offered to all men. Therefore, we cannot understand this passage to mean that each individual has been predestined either to salvation or to being lost. Rather, God has already decided
who will be lost and who will be saved, in the sense that God has determined the qualifications that one must have for salvation. God has established a law. That law has promises with it, the promise of heaven, if we're obedient. But that law also has warnings with it. It's the warning that if we do not turn to God with an obedient heart and do the things that are right, we will be lost eternally. Matthew chapter 25 teaches us about that great day of judgment, and it shows us that there is an eternal destination for all men. There is eternal life for those who are obedient, and there is eternal torment for those who are disobedient. God has predestined that that is how it will be. But it is God who justifieth. I hope from today's study you have seen that it is only God who can justify man. And a man often comes up with many things that he hopes will save him, but in the end, like Orville Luce, unable to save the boy, those things will be unable to save us. I hope you will give this matter some serious thought. This is Paul Meacham reminding you that God's Word is the truth for the world.